stripes I'm healed.
My God is awesome.
Yes, He's awesome.
Oh, yes, He is. Thank you, Lord.
He's awesome.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, you can beat that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him a real good hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Amen. All those verses fit our life. When we're burdened, when we're down, when we're sick, when we're weary, our God is still awesome. If every one of us had to crawl in this building tonight to be here in church, He is still an awesome God. Do you believe that with all your heart? Look at somebody and tell them, my God is awesome. Tell them with all your heart, my God is awesome. Boys, our God is awesome tonight, right? Somebody say glory.
Glory.
My God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome. Oh, He's awesome. Yes, He's awesome. Say awesome as we can't think of a better word to describe Him by. He's just awesome, isn't He? I've heard people say that's an awesome car, that's an awesome house, that's an awesome pair of tennis shoes. Well, all that stuff's okay, but it's not awesome. He's awesome. He is awesome tonight. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Are you glad you're a Christian? Are you glad you love to come to the house of God? Are you glad He gave you a mind to come to the house of God? Give Him one more great big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Praise the Lord. Well, we're so glad to have you here tonight. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You can be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Sister Sylvia Barham offers this testimony tonight. Thank you so much for your prayers for a lady that I sit with, a Mrs. King. She came through her surgery and is doing so good. We know it was the prayers of the saints of God that brought her through. May God bless you. So we praise the Lord for that testimony tonight, don't we? Sister Teresa Vest sends this in to please pray for Monty Love's mother. She has stage 4 breast and bone cancer and is having a reaction to the chemo medicine that she has been taking for over 4 years. She is in a lot of pain and has blisters all over her face. They're just asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. I believe Brother Joel Yance mentioned it here Wednesday night. My sister Judy down in Middle Tennessee, she again wanted me to say thank you to the church for your prayer. She is doing so much better. She just thanks the Lord and thanks you for praying. So praise the Lord. I want to pray for a Zoe Jones. little six-year-old from Florida with rheumatic fever and severe pain. The family is very desperate for your prayers, so we want to remember that need tonight. We want to pray. Pray that the job situation for Brother Joel Moyer will work out, and that God will bring all this court situation concerning his family may come to a head and be done with, and we just commit that all unto the Lord. God certainly knows all about it. Brother Ron and Sister Naomi Daly says to please pray for our cousin Ronnie Kissel from Greenwich, Ohio. He passed out today at our family reunion, was taken to the hospital. Family asked for prayer, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Howard Collins wants to thank the Lord for protecting him today in a lawnmower accident that could have been very, very severe, but the Lord brought him through, and he is grateful for God's protection. So we thank the Lord for that. Sister Sherry Wiggins says, thank everyone who sent me cards and words of sympathy and the loss of my brother. I appreciate it so very much. So we just continue to remember those folks in prayer. Sister Janet Barron says she wants to thank the Lord for safety, for traveling from Michigan. Had a wonderful time with visiting with her son, and she's glad to be home. We just praise the Lord for that. Sister Faye Yant says to please pray that God will heal my granddaughter Brittany. She's in the Johnson City Medical Center, very sick, so we will remember that need tonight as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, have you know we're serving a prayer-answering God. Amen. Could we stand together tonight? Let's just sing just a little bit more. Sing that verse, that by his stripes we're healed. Sing that verse for me again, Brother Harry, if you would. Our God is awesome. Yes, he's awesome. Oh, he's awesome. Oh, yes, he's awesome. Our God is awesome. The Savior of the whole world, the giver of salvation, and by his stripes I'm healed. Our God is awesome. Yes, he is awesome. Praise. You love him with all your heart. Brother Terry, come tonight. Brother Terry, come and pray over these needs. We'll just commit all your problems, all your situations, committed unto the Lord. He's able to fix it. We love you, buddy. Appreciate you. Love Brother Terry, don't we? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We get to come to church again. Let's all pray. Lord Jesus, in my heart, I am just so thrilled to be back in the house of the Lord. All the many years that you have permitted me to come to the house of God, how thankful I am that you put a desire in my heart. Lord, as Brother Louis said, that people use that word awesome so nonchalantly, this and that and the other, and sometimes they'll take the Lord's name in vain, but the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, he's the only thing that's in this world that's awesome that we know of, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Maker, the Creator. Everything else is just cannon fodder, but we love you. Help us, Lord, that we in our life, our testimony would be a great testimony of respect, love you and serve you and put you first in all that we do. Help us, forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings, and may our life be a life worthy of the gospel. Lord, these requests have all been read. Lord, you heard, you know about each one that people have heard, and people have perhaps unsaved loved ones that different things upon their heart they would like to pray about. And we know, Lord, that if you would just brood over those that are outside the ark of safety. Lord, we've got family members that are not in. We know that the door of mercy is soon to be closing. Surely it have to be, looking at the condition of the world. So, Lord God, help us to be fervent and be in prayer again and again. And we just believe until you bring them in. Oh, God, bless and anoint our pastor tonight as he ministers the word of God. Those that are visiting with us, may they go home with a greater revelation of love in their heart, a greater understanding of the message for the hour, a greater fervency to live a life worthy of the gospel. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you because you gave us one more opportunity to be in the house of God in this land of freedom before they take it away from us. Thank you that we can be here. Meet with us tonight, Lord. Heal each one. Their name's been read in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Bless you, buddy. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, We receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight, and we do have some visitors here, we're certainly glad to have each and every one of you, all those that would be streaming the service tonight. We pray it'd be a great blessing to those folks. And we've got a very special congregational song tonight. Very, very special congregational song tonight. Brother Jewel Forney is here. He thought he'd just sneak in, but you can't sneak in, Brother Jewel. Everybody knows who you are. I want you to come, ever how you could do it. If your wife wants to help you, ever have you got that. But come and lead us in that congregation, and we'll help you as good as we can. It won't be as good as what you do, but won't it be a time? I know you'd like to hear that tonight, wouldn't you? Where's Brother Jewel at? Get on up here, buddy. God bless your heart. This is just another reminder tonight, and tomorrow will be the last time to sign up in the library for Sister Allison and Brother Mark's wedding reception. Please sign up no later than tomorrow, so remember that. Do we love these folks right here or what? You just get in our sink wherever you want to.
Praise God.
We love this guy, don't we? I tell you, he's special. Amen. Sing it, buddy.
Praise the Lord. I just want to say, by God's grace, I've been battling, you know, on that blood pressure thing for the last 8 months or so. It really got out of hand. It was like 250 at the top, 195 at the bottom, 200. And then my wife would check my blood pressure, and she kept checking that. And I told her to quit checking it. I said, because you're going to, it's getting a week in my faith. So I told her, I said, don't worry about it. We ain't going to check it no more. So I just didn't check it no more. And I went to the doctor a few months down the road just recently. And I went to the doctor. She said, whoa. And in other words, I said, what's up? And I'm thinking something's wrong. She said, it's a strange. She said, you know, your blood pressure come all the way down from like 250. Your top number went down to 122. And your bottom number went down to 80. Hallelujah. I want to thank you for your prayers here. But I want to let you know, we don't want to just say, well, want to be a tower. We want it to be right now. I need my healing right now. I need a deliverance right now. I need God to move right now. Hallelujah. We always put want it to be. I know it's going to be a time we get our chains in the body. Why not start changing it right now? Hallelujah. We are going, we walk into a changing. Hallelujah. I appreciate Brother Kevin and his wife. They together with us this evening, a tall guy in the back. They celebrating their third anniversary here this week. So I appreciate them with us here. But won't it be a time? Hallelujah. Won't it be a time? I want you to look at it. Not right here. Right now. Won't it be a time? I'm bringing on a change in my body. Brother, you know what, man. Hallelujah. I say, won't it be a time? Oh, won't it be a
time?
Oh,
won't it be a time?
Oh, talking with the angels. Won't it be a time? Sound pretty good. Let's try that again. My hands. back here. I see my feet shaking back here. I begin to look all around me. They're grabbing with fall. The glory of the Lord has come into play. Won't it be a time?
I said, won't it be a time?
When I was on earth, they called me Brother Homer Frazier. I'm on this side right now. Won't it be a time?
Won't it be a time?
I said,
won't it be
away a few months ago. A few weeks ago, Brother John Key. I had another best friend that passed away that was called Brother Lynn Gill. But I'm living in a resurrection. They gonna step in this rail and we gonna leave out here together. Won't it be a time?
Again, won't it be a time?
Wake the devil. I want you to let the devil know I'm going to be there. I'm going to make this rapture. I don't care what the world says. I'm going to make it.
Won't it be
say praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. There's some folks that come with Brother Jewel and his wife. Brother Watford, is I get that name right? I want her to come. I think she has a son, maybe both of them. I don't know exactly how they have it put together, but come on to the platform real quickly and sing for us tonight. Just give them a nice hand as they come. Her, God bless you. certainly appreciate the input that these brothers and sisters have on their service. They just, yes, ma'am. They have an input on the service. God bless their hearts. Amen. Stir us old white people up sometimes, don't they? Have mercy. Have mercy. We appreciate them so very much being with us tonight. Give them a nice hand.
Amen. God bless you. A little nervous, so. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Friends don't treat me like they used to.
Nervous about, does she? I'm telling you, that was good, sister. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, sister Alicia Babb, where is she at? She has a song for us tonight. If she'll come onto the platform, get ready to sing for us. We treasure her songs because they're so rare. And she's such a blessing to us. We appreciate her. Give her a nice hand tonight. Amen.
To lose the strength I've had before. I need the leadership of your Spirit even more. Oh Lord, you know I feel alone. I don't ever
He's a character, ain't he? Amen. I heard a knock on my door a while ago, and I opened the door, and I was so surprised. I looked down at his shoes. I recognized Brother Terry's shoes and Brother Darrell's shoes when they come back there, and I looked at them shoes. I thought, who in the world? I opened up, and there he stood, bigger than life. And grabbed me and gave me a big hug. Amen. So nice to have him with us tonight. And his other brother and sister there. God bless you all. Brother Darrell's back in the office with me, and I told him, I said, after he's got them out there going, I go out there and walk out there to preach, they're just going to sit there and look at me. So I should have handed him my notes and let him preach tonight. Amen. God bless you. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? We was coming down the road a while ago, and Carol said, look at all these people. Wonder where they're going. I said, well, some going drinking, some going partying, go here and there, shopping, whatever more. Saturday night's a big night. It is for us too. It's a big night. Another opportunity to get to go to the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look tonight, if you will, in the Song of Solomon again. Brother Joel, I've been preaching on a series on little foxes, buddy, so you're going. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14, if you would. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, and let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. I may like to be remembered tonight before the Lord. God bless you. Let's pray together. Hold your request in your heart. Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, we're thankful, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity that we've been given that we could gather together tonight in your name, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, for this evening light, what you've done for us, how we appreciate it so much, Lord. If it wasn't for your grace, we'd be out here in the world tonight, maybe going from one honky-tonk to another, one rock and roll party to another, trying to find some peace, some satisfaction, some joy. But your grace has been so bountiful to us, Lord, to let us be called to you. Now we've found the greatest peace that man has ever known. The new birth, eternal life, God's own life, living in the lives of his children. We're so grateful for it tonight, Father. As we approach your word, we're just asking that you'd help us, Lord. You saw the hands that were uplifted. Lord, those that are in the visible audience and those that are streaming tonight, we pray that you'd just be mindful of the needs of your children. Lord, our needs are so many and they're so diverse, but we know our God is greater than all of our needs put together. We're looking to you tonight, Father. We ask you once again, would you speak to us from your word? May we be granted encouragement, strength, correction, whatever we need in our lives tonight, Lord. We're committing it to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated, saints. I'd like for you to turn with me also in the book of Nehemiah, if you would. Whenever Brother Chisholm had spoke here on Sunday, I told you that I've been looking at Ezra and also the book of Nehemiah. Let's read a few verses, if you would, in chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. And he said, even that which they build. Listen to this. If a fox, go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. A fox. We better go fox hunting. Now, in reality, we know there is no fox strong enough to break down a stone wall. But what is these men trying to do? They're using the little fox of discouragement. Now this is a mighty fox. He's little. His paws are small. His bark is very small. He don't growl near as much as maybe a bigger fox. But he's a powerful fox. He's destroyed many, many people, becoming discouraged along the way. Now, Nehemiah's been given a very difficult job. Of course, Ezra was sent forth first. Ezra was a priest. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. And we know that Nehemiah went in before the king and he had a really sad face and the king asked him, and our brother Chisholm done went that way Sunday, so I won't go that direction, but you probably read the story. But something moved supernaturally on the king's heart to send them back because of the promise of God. That God was going to allow the city, the temple sacrifice to be rebuilt and the city was going to be restored. But yet the work that was before them was so great, it seemed impossible. And I'd like to say to you tonight, no matter where you are in your life or your walk with God, if you're cold, if you're indifferent, if you're on fire, or wherever you are, Satan will try everything in your path to stop you, to discourage you, to get you down, to get you despondent, to get you where that you feel like your work is in vain. Even Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, also in 1 Thessalonians, let us not be weary in well-doing. So it proves to us that discouragement can come when you're up. It can come when you're down. It can come when you feel like you're doing nothing for God. It can come when you feel like you're doing a great something for God. So it can come no matter really what status of your life that you're in. And yet discouragement is a thing that's for the most part is preventable. You know, they tell me that colon cancer is the number one cancer in America, which is the most preventable. And that is by regular colonoscopies and checkups. And yet it is the one that so many people will never do because of the stigma of having it done or the horror stories that they've heard about it. And yet it is the most preventable cancer that there is. And you think that discouragement, oh, it'll come our way despite everything we do. But yet it, for the most part of it going into the stage of getting you and I to where we feel so despondent and we feel like there's no need to going on. That stage is preventable. But it is only preventable by those who will follow in line with the Word of God and refuse to allow the devil to get them where they're so discouraged that they feel like there's no need and pressing the battle. Now, you know, it's an amazing thing I found when I was looking at this, that you know, these guys, they go to talking about foxes, and they say that if they build up this wall, that even if a fox would come up, that the fox would be able to tear down their wall. Now, you see, why would they ever compare the strength of a stone wall to the weakness of a fox? But now, this is something that was, of course, common in the Old Testament. Look at this in Lamentation chapter 5, verse 17. For this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Now remember, Lamentations was written after the prophecy of Jeremiah was fulfilled, which the Babylonians came, carried the children of Israel away captive, and they destroyed the city, burnt the gates, annihilated the temple, and they left the city in a place of habitation where it was left basically by strangers. So here Lamentations now catches up on the state of the city. So when you look and see a city that was infested with foxes, it meant that the city was left desolate. It meant that the city, the people of the city, were either gone or they were so busy doing other things that the population of the foxes had exploded. May I say to you tonight, as the people of God, we can figure and know that foxes will come against our life. But if your life tonight is absolutely desolate and is a habitation and there has been a population explosion of foxes in your life, you better get to seeking God. That's right, because it was this time that Zion. Now notice the prophet tells us that Zion always represents the bride. And he said, because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Now why would this be that the people are gone, but yet the population of foxes has exploded? Remember, this was a well-inhabited city. Hundreds of thousands of people lived there, and then the people on the outlying area, so it was a city that the rodents would have populated in the population of the people. So now that the rodents have populated, then the foxes also come in, and a lot of the kings are gone, the great people are gone, but yet the mice are still there, the rodents are still there, the things which are buried on the sand piles. So it has absolutely increased the fox population. So a place that was noted as the city of God, a place that was noted by which God said, I will come down and place my name there. Now that place was called a habitation of foxes. May I say to you tonight, friends, it ain't no wonder that a lot of folks in our ranks are backsliding and turning away. A lot of them totally turning away from the message. But if you and I could see their lives tonight, I'll tell you what we'd see. We'd see an explosion of foxes around those people's lives. They don't live the way they lived, they used to. They don't pray the way they used to pray. They don't read their Bible. People don't go to church the way they used to go to church. Many of them aren't as close to God as they used. Come on now, preach with me. Why? It's because the foxes have exploded around their lives and Zion has become a habitation of foxes. I'll tell you, we need to get out our double barrel shotgun and go fox hunting. Oh my, you say, I'm exempt from it. These people have the blessing of God. Their city was chosen of God. God put His name there. God put His blessing there. We are not exempt from such a thing unless we keep it from our lives. Oh my, this little fox of discouragement. What a powerful little enemy he is. Discouragement doesn't just hit the preachers. It hits deacons. It hits trustees. It hits mothers. It hits fathers. It hits children. It hits everybody that's a child of God. And let's face facts, we're living in a very discouraging time. Our world has never been in the chaos that she is right now. Our politics is a mess. You understand, the repeat of the antediluvian time was to come in the last days before the coming of the Lord. And one of the things that is most noted about the pre-antediluvian destruction was it was a time of violence. Violence. Violence was so captivating the land before God destroyed it. Look at it, friend. That nation has never experienced such violence as what's going on. Protest here, protest there, protesting this. It is a time of violence. It's not just in America, but it is around the world. Violence is everywhere. Don't you understand? It is one of the signs of the end time. You cross people, you pull over in front of somebody. Oh, you sign, see no violence. You better believe they're driving their cars. You see them at Walmart. You get the parking spot. You bump their buggy or whatever more. You see violence. Come on now. Why? Because it's one of the signs of the last day. It's a discouraging time to try to get people to have a desire to want to serve God. It's a discouraging time. We're trying to raise our children. Is anybody going to preach to me tonight? It is a discouraging time. But at the same time, it can also be an encouraging time. We have never been so close to the coming of the Lord. The rapture has never been so close. The body change has never been so close. But in reality, without us knowing how to encourage ourselves and receive the encouragement that God gives us, I guarantee you one thing, we can become despondent of life. Just become so discouraged with life. And I'm sure you're the same way I am. You know what gets me the most discouraged? People. How long has it been since any possums just brought you to a place of despondency? I mean, just a horde of possums come around your house and, oh, they're eating your little Debbie cakes and this, you know, they're driving your car away and they're just calling you on the cell phone and the possums are just investing your life and you is just about to go crazy because of possums. Really? Skunks? Monkeys? Baboons? What is it that gets you? What? People. Wow. People. And sometimes it's good people. Bright people even. Right? They can so discourage you. Sometimes it's your children. Or your grandchildren. Or your husband. Or your wife. Or people you go to church with. Well, here they go.
That's right. And it can be so discouraging. People that you're sojourning on the same place. You're going to heaven? Yes. You love God? Yes. You believe the message? Yes. And yet they can be some of the ones that bring you such discouragement and make you so despondent of life. And you say, what's the use? What's the use of even trying to go on? Why should I even try to do it? But yet if you and I are called to a higher call, then all the discouragement that's around us, does it bother us? Sure it does. But we have to go on. We have to keep our eyes on the prize. We can't look at what Trump's doing. We can't look at what the Democrats are doing. We can't worry about what London is doing or whatever more. We've got to keep our eyes on the prize. We're getting ready to get out of this place. Oh my, this little fox, he comes around and he starts nibbling on the bottom of the vine. He's a little bitty guy, little guy. I've got one of them mounted in my home from Africa. I've got the kit fox, the swift fox, the cross fox, the red fox, the gray fox. I've got many, many species of the foxes. But, you know, the little bitty guy from Africa setting up mounted like this. And his little paws out in front like that. He's about this tall and he's full grown. But a very, very small, tiny thing. And this is why sometimes a discouragement and despondency can come. It starts with some little something that doesn't quite go your way. Maybe some prayers that God hasn't answered, or maybe God put a delay on. And then somebody at the church don't treat you nice. And then something else happens at home. And then before you know it, you are so down. You are so discouraged. And it's amazing when folks get discouraged, they want to stay home from church. Well, I mean, when they get hungry, they still go to restaurants. When they run out of stuff, they still go to Walmart to get more stuff. Whenever they need all kinds of things, they go to the place where they need it. But when they get discouraged, they quit going to church. Somebody help me with this. Somebody help me. I do not understand what it is in people's thinking that they think going to Dollywood or going to somewhere else, staying away from the house of God, is going to help them and make them encouraged. Well, praise the Lord. Let's read together, if you will. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Now this is the children of Israel, of course, that's being called out by God. And consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of that place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude, now that wasn't enough. Here they already have these difficult problems, and those that was kind of hanging on the outside of the movement of God, they're the ones who died first. That's right, the outskirts, they were still there, but they was on the outskirts. That's right. Notice now, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now, here they are. They're in this state. God's providing manna for them every day. God's absolutely preserving their clothes. You imagine? They didn't have to take 450 changes of clothes. They wore the same clothes and God renewed them. Every 7 days or every 10 days, however long it was, they looked down at their shoes and said, my Lord, them things look brand new. Look at my robe. It looks like it's brand new. God absolutely keeping them by his grace, and yet they constantly complained. That'll be one great thing that I know about heaven. Forget streets of gold. Forget the river of life. Forget all that. There won't be no complainers there. Woo! That'll be heaven to me, brother. I don't like this. I don't like that. The air conditioner's too cold. No, it wasn't. It was too hot. I do not like them new trees. Who in the world put them trees up there? They never even asked me, what did you think about that shirt he wore tonight? Why do you even come to church? I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like something else. And God don't like your complaining. Praise the Lord. Now notice now where they're going. We remember the fish. Long John Silver's on every corner. White fish with hush puppies, French fries, and a large Diet Coke if you drink Diet Coke. Oh, my, I remember. Oh, cucumbers, melons, which was watermelons, leeks, onions. Oh. Oh. We remember the fish, which we didn't eat in Egypt, freely. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. Isn't it amazing that they forgot their servitude? I find it so overwhelming that people remember what they want to remember. When they go to recalling their old sinful life, boy, didn't we used to have some times out there. Man, I'll tell you what, we used to get out there and drink and carry on and shoot up. Boy, I tell you, they're close to backsliding right there. When they go to having that smile on their face and they compare that to glory, they compare that to heaven, they compare that to going to church. Let me tell you something, friend, the worst day you've ever had in your life as a Christian was better than any day you ever had in your life living for the devil. There ain't nothing to compare to the greatness and the mercy of our God. Oh my, discontentment produces this ever harping attitude though. I don't like this and I don't like that. Oh, I remember them old altar calls we used to have back in Pentecost. Oh man, I remember that old Baptist. I remember the Methodist. I remember how you could just go to church and you didn't have to live right. Man, we had all TED televisions. We all just done whatever we wanted to do. I remember them old days. Since I've come to the message, it's so demanding. That's right. Our God's a demanding God. That's right. You can't live any way you want to live and go to heaven. You can't live any way you want to live and go in the rapture. Oh, I remember that easy believism. Oh, remember that? Remember how easy it was? Oh, wow. The preacher just said, all right, who in here now wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? I sat right there and I raised my hand. I said, you're saved. You've got eternal life. You've got eternal life. You can never have it taken from you. Now it's yours. I went out, I smoked, and I drank, and I went talking to counsel with the pastor, and he said, that's all right, don't tell nobody, but I have a drinking problem myself. But that's all right, that's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus died, so we go ahead and keep on drinking. I don't know who told you that lie to hell, but that's what it is, a lie to hell. Jesus never comes so you could go on drinking. He comes so you could be set free from lying. Because set free from a lie filled with sin. Oh, man. Oh, I miss them onions from the Baptist church. Oh, I used to walk in and I knew when it was eternal security day. Oh, that fragrance of the garlic. Oh. Oh. He'd get up there and he'd start John 3:16. Boy, he'd go right down through the Gospels and all my. Oh, easy believism. Wow. And then we'd all go to Starbucks after, and I'd sit there and lust after the other man's wife, and he'd sit there and lust after mine, and we'd all sit there and talk about the deals we'd pulled all week long. Man, wasn't that church? Really? That sounds like Hades to me. That sounds like he's going to the gates of hell. I remember back in Pentecost, boy, them meetings we used to have. We don't have meetings like that no more. Thank God. We got meetings with substance in them. I believe in shouting. I believe in jumping. I believe in running. But I like meetings with some substance. I like meetings when you walk out there and you got some meat on your bones when you get done. I know you do too. What about the bondage? Don't you remember sitting there in them churches thinking, Lord God, surely there's got to be more to God than this. There's got to be more to God than this. Don't you remember that? Don't you remember them whips on your back? It's amazing how they had forgotten it. But the word of God recorded it, so it'd be a witness against them. Exodus chapter 1 verse 11. Therefore did they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. That's not enough that they've got burdens. But the Egyptians set taskmasters over them to afflict them when they was under stress and strain. And yet, Brother Gene, in their mind, they just can't remember it. They built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians, verse 13, made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, harshness, severity, and cruelty. How could you not remember cruelty? How could you not remember severity? How could you not remember punishment, but all you remember is onions and leeks and garlics? You haven't taken your meds, have you? So you remember what you ate, and you're bearing in your body the scars of the taskmasters. Some of you sitting out here tonight, you're still bearing in your memory and in your body some of the taskmaster's sins that he done on you 40 years ago. And you're still dealing with memories. You're still dealing with things that the devil has brought against you. When you was out there, why in the world would you ever think about going back to him? But you see, when people become discouraged, it's like when they reach this place, they almost lose an element of their sanity. Brother Jim, they're not even thinking straight. Now, if they'd all been living in a palace and they'd all been bowed to your royal highness and they'd been given everything they would ever want and they were all just worship and adore, and then they left all that and come to this, you think, wow, I mean, that might barely be a problem. But every day you've got people standing over you, beating you and whipping you. If they wanted your wife, they took your wife and did what they wanted to with her, and you was not allowed to say one thing. You don't remember that. Look what discouragement can do. It can go to messing with your mind. Well, praise the Lord. Notice in verse 14, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Yet, in the time of great discouragement, not a one of them mentioned it. Well, praise the Lord. You see, we're temporarily going insane when we reach this place. We're not looking at things realistically. We're not looking at things right, because in our mind we begin to go back and say, oh man, I remember this and I remember that. But do you remember? Oh, I hadn't thought of that. You remember them hard times? You remember when you used to sit on the side of the bed and cry, looking for peace, and roll the bed all night long and wondering, oh God, where is it? There's got to be a God somewhere. There's got to be some peace somewhere. Isn't it amazing when we get to that spot, it's somehow we don't remember it? Look at this fox. He grabs a hold to the tender vines. He eats on the tender grapes. He steals your fellowship between you and God. Can I go on? Exodus chapter 5, verse 6. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people, their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make bread as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tally of the bricks which they did make heretofore shall lay upon them, and you shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go sacrifice our God. So now they up the difficulty. So now instead of them bringing straw, you've got to make your bread, plus go out and find stubble wherever you can find it, and you're not to let down on your production at work. Yet nobody mentions this once they get into the message. You see, now they're on the way to their land. Numbers chapter 11. They're on their way to the land. They're fully in the message now under the administration of a prophet of God. And now they go to complaining about his leadership. So they put a video on YouTube and they put a website over here and a website over there. And they're trying to discourage the credibility of this servant of God. Oh my. So, nobody mentions whips, nobody mentions rigor, nobody mentions taskmasters. What do they mention? We remember the fish, which we didn't eat it freely, the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. You know, imagine them standing up, boy, their mouths are just watering. It was just pouring water, and it's salivating. So, it's just, oh, man, what I'd give for some of that fish. Think of it. Take him out there and skin him, gut him out. Cook him on an open fire. Hang an onion ring on his nose. And then you lay him on the plate with some garlic. Oh, you talking about eating, man. Goodness. Now, they didn't like chitlins, Brother Jill, like you did. Boy, you top it off with some good old Egyptian watermelon. You talking about a time. Man alive, you come in on Saturday night, you don't know if it's up or down or you're in or out. You get up on Sunday morning, put your church clothes on, you go up and join and set the church there. And that was some of the same people you drunk with the night before. Now, buddy, that was living. That sounds like hell to me. Boy, I remember when I used to go out, but I don't remember any of that, and neither do I want any of those memories. I do remember as a 12-year-old boy laying up at the altar talking in tongues and my daddy having to pack me home and lay me out on the floor and let me lay there half a night in another language. I remember being alone with God. I remember years and years and decades of my life giving to the cause of Jesus Christ. No whiskey, no drinking, no marijuana, no other woman than the one I married. Hallelujah. That's my memories of serving God. And I have no regrets. So now watch what they do. They compare the fish, the garlic, the melons, the onions. In verse 6, now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. I'm sick of it. Every time we go to church, Brother Branham said this, and Brother Branham said that, and Brother Branham said something else. Get up there and telling us that the bride's the only one going. I know all kinds of good people out yonder. Good people ain't what's going to cut it. It's going to be election. Amen. Election ain't your choice. It ain't mine. It's God's. Notice in verse 7, he goes into the description of the manna. And the manna was as a coriander seed, and the colors thereof as the color of bdellum. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans. Now you see, initially when they first come to the message, and God let the manna fall down out of heaven, they ate it the way God sent it. But then they got tired of it that way. So they started mixing it with oil. Then they started beating the message. They wanted to beat all the Kentuckian out of it. And they wanted to beat all the humanity out of it. Don't beat the humanity out of this message. We need it. We need to hear that Brother Branham was a man, and that Brother Branham had to repent, and Brother Branham had to have the Holy Ghost just like all the rest of us. Don't beat that out of the message. We need that. So they oil it down. They beat it down. They fry it. They cook it. They deep fry it. They air fry it. They microwave it. Praise God. Notice, beat it in a mortar and baked it. So they deep fry it, they air fry it, they bake it. What was wrong the way God said it? Don't you understand one of the greatest challenges of the preachers in this hour of taking this word and preaching it? If they're not careful, every preacher has the potential to be a beater of this message. He has the potential to be a baker. He has the potential to be a microwaver or an air fryer or a deep fryer or whatever more, and blend it in his own oil and wrap it up in his own meal and his own concoction of this and that and the other to make the message a little bit more flavorful. Well, Brother Donnie, we're later in time now. We have to change this and that and this. Oh, no, we don't. We need to preach this word just the way God sent it. It'll take us all the way to the body change. You just remember, and preachers go to pointing their finger at themselves. I'm the only one. I'm this, that, the other. They're a microwaver or an air fryer or a beater or a loafer or a liar. Oh my. Notice now. Notice what they do. So they gather it. Nothing wrong with that. Ground it in meals. Beat it in a mortar. Baked it in pans. Made cakes out of it. What's wrong with the form it fell in? Can't you see how people are? They cannot leave what God has done alone. So it falls out of heaven, so you can understand, sort of like snowflakes. All different shapes and all different sizes. But that ain't good enough after a while. So they want to oil it. Well, this one here kind of has a flair for cayenne pepper. And this other guy over here, he's sort of got an Indian taste, so he wants curry. This other guy over here, he's more of a Mediterranean flair, so he kind of wants his done this way. And then also the camp, you've got all these message followers. And this part of the message sounds, smells like India. This part of the message smells like Mediterranean. This part of the message smells like this and other. And supposedly every one of them feeding on the same tapes. How in the world does that happen? It takes place in the kitchen. It don't take place in the kitchen of heaven. Now, God don't send down some manna with cumin on it and other manna with black pepper and salt only. And then other manna comes down with brown sugar because you love brown sugar. But God sends it down all the same way. But then the people go according to their own particular taste. I like it this way. I like it that way. And time they get done with it, we have got all the oil. I wish somebody would preach with me tonight. Don't you understand why we've got all these different versions of the same message, supposedly from the same prophet of God? So they modify its form, they modify its content, they mash up the atoms, and they change it till it don't even look the same. And then they cook it, and they make cakes out of it. The original form that God placed is not even good enough for them. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. So they're able to even modify the taste. All that trouble just to keep them from getting tired of it. But of course you realize, once preachers then develop that taste in you, then you have to have them. Because you're used to eating it that certain way. And then, of course, they're the only one going. Everybody else in the message is wrong because they don't use coriander seed. Everybody else is wrong because they don't use curry or they don't use brown sugar the way our church does. Well, I'm going to have church. I'm not sure what you folks are going to do tonight. Oh, my. Notice when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Isn't that amazing? God knows exactly how to know what's one to come first. No doubt if the manna would have fell first and the dew would have fell on that, it would have made it kind of soggy and squishy. So God let the dew fall first and then let the manna fall down upon the dew. Instead of making it squishy, it kept it fresh for sunrise. So you see, a real believer that's still in harmony with God, they know we need the word. They know we also need the Spirit of God to keep that word fresh. And they know that we're not eating left up, warmed up old things that's so old, it's 75 years old, that ain't got no nutrients in it. They know if it's put in the right order, it's as fresh today as it was when it was preached. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Whew. Moses also was displeased. You see what complaining does? Oh my. And Moses said unto the Lord. Now watch how this little fox of discouragement spreads in the church. Now Moses was doing pretty good, really, with all the burdens that he had, all that he was going through. But now this discouragement becomes such a thing in the entire move, seemingly, of God. And they are so discouraged and so down and so sad, their discouragement builds up on the man of God. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Now, no doubt the day before he said, I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. I've talked to God face to face. I've seen God. I'll tell you one thing. God has met with me, but today he's not blessed. He's afflicted. Any of y'all ever felt that way? Feel so blessed in church and you walk out there and meet somebody that don't like you and they kind of frown or turn their nose up at you or whatever more, ask you for that $100 you borrowed last week and you ain't got to pay them back. All of a sudden, that blessing turns into an affliction. Your service, oh my, the joy just went out of it somehow. Now, you're Moses that wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? What? What? There had never been a man that walked in this place where this man walked. But what's eating on him? Discouragement. He had 2.5 million foxes. Brother Keith, they was eating and they was nabbing and they was crying and they was going on. It wouldn't take a man long to get down after that. Well, praise the Lord. I don't care how strong a leader you are, brother, sister, Satan knows exactly how to attack you in a way that seems like your work is in vain. It's not just so with a preacher. It's so with a mother. It's so with a father. It's so with a husband or with a wife. When you try to do your best and raise your home in the right way, and your children, when they get older, they do whatever they want. You think, God, what is wrong? What have I done that's wrong? Have I not brought them up in the right way? It can become so discouraging. Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth a suckling child? Now, Moses, don't you think you're having a little bit of drama here? Praise the Lord. Your wife ain't the only drama queen around your house, I imagine, when you get down enough. You might not be a drama queen, you're more of a drama king. Now here Moses is really getting with a lot of drama, ain't he? God, did I give birth to all these kids? Did you give them to me and say they're all yours? God never said that in the first place. Look what discouragement does. It makes you think things that are not even true. They are not facts. They are not true. They are lies and fabrications or exaggerations. But to us in this state, they are as real as they can be. Carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth a suckling child. Who ever even heard of such a thing? A father can't nurse. Come on. Well, wake up, children. Listen to what the man's saying. He's talking like he's got breasts as a woman. The only reason some of you ain't said this because you never thought of it. When should I have flesh to give unto all these people? God never told him to have flesh. God never told him that he was the one responsible. Where is he getting this? Discouragement. Look how discouragement exaggerates and twists and contorts things. Praise the Lord. There ain't nobody at the church likes me. Nobody. Really? Now you've went to everybody and asked them, right? And you know this is a fact. Well, I know at least one person. Well, why don't you say the truth of it then? I know at least one person don't like me in the church. Boy, if that's all you got disliking you, you're a car and I do. There's a lot more here dislike me than that. Woo! When shall I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all this people alone. Alone, huh? Oh, man, Moses, I knew you was a mighty man, but I didn't realize you was that great. I thought the Almighty was the Almighty. I didn't realize it was you. You see how we do, friends, when we get discouraged. We say stupid things, foolish, ignorant. Amen, Brother Donnie. Amen, Brother Donnie. Praise the Lord, Brother Donnie. I'm going to have some amens on the tape, you know. I'm not able to bear all this people on because it's too heavy for me. And I'm giving you the ultimatum, God. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me. Okay? This is where I stand. I've had all I can take. Kill me. Well, praise God. You can see why God didn't allow Smith and Wesson to be invented in that day. Moses would have packed a half a dozen of them, wouldn't he? Used five on the people and the other on himself. If this is the way it is from here on out, then just kill me right now. I pray thee out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight. I want to put a little bit of grace on the end of it anyway. Please. In Jesus' name. Amen. And let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. This is God, not God's provided way. This is because of the weakness of his servant. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto thy people, sanctify thyselves again tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now here God's correcting the error of the prophet. The prophet said to come to him. God said, no, just to remind you the straight of it, they didn't come to you, they come to me. Get yourself in your place, you ain't God. You're not the Almighty. You're not even the Almighty Moses right now. Well, praise God. I'll tell you, friends, it's amazing how that many great men who bear the armament, oh my, the gospel, how they can be able to take all kinds of things except when it comes to discouragement. Shakespeare called discouragement, words of discouragement, arrows to the brain, to the mind. Arrows that pierce the mind. And he said it has destroyed and brought down many a mighty man. Why? Because you become so despondent. Ask these preachers here how it is. You go out and preach somewhere and God will move among the people and hundreds of people be helped and delivered. And there'll be one person waiting for you on your way out. The last day. Or the last service. God's healed, God's delivered, God's done this or that or the other, and he'll be standing right by your car on your way out, or he'll be waiting for you at the motel room when you check out the next morning because you said something wrong, or he didn't like this, or he didn't like that, and you leave the meeting so despondent and so down. God's done so many. Is anybody hearing me tonight? My goodness, by the look on y'all's face, I figure I'm the only one here that ever gets discouraged. Why? Satan knows the power that lays in discouragement. Anybody here ever felt like quitting? Can I count my hands twice? My fingers twice? Oh, I've never been to a spot I want to give up on God. No, I ain't been to a spot I want to quit serving him. Say, go out here and serve the devil. No way. I just want to quit preaching, quit pastoring, quit dealing with people. Get the down payment on the power of the system and go create me a private world and put up a sign, no trespassing. Oh my. Notice verse 19. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days. Nor 5 days, neither 10 days nor 20 days, but a whole month until it comes out your nostrils. And it be loathsome. My manna is loathsome to you. I will send you so many quail, it will come out your nose. Be careful what you ask God for. Because that ye have despised the Lord, which is among you, and you have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Why didn't you leave us alone, God? Oh, children, I'll tell you one thing. I feel sorry for those out here in the world who's never heard the truth of the hour. But I'll tell you who I feel the most sorry for. Those who've sat in the message churches and turned and walked away to their vomit. They've turned like a sow back to a wallowing in the mire and a dog right back to their vomit, and they say they're free. Baloney. They don't understand what freedom's even all about. Come on, saints. It's exactly the truth. And yet right out there, many of them crossed the line. No hope for them. No hope at all to ever come back to God. Oh, thank God you're sitting here tonight with the desire to serve the Lord. Thank God you're sitting here with a knot with a desire in your heart. Do you become discouraged? Of course you do. But when you get down, you say, Lord, I ain't got nothing to go back to. All my bridges are burned. I ain't going back to Pentecost. I ain't going back to Baptist. I ain't going back to Message. There ain't no place for me to go. And that's only one way up. I ain't going back to this world. I ain't going back to what Satan's eating cut off for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Discouragement. Does it weigh on us? Sure it does. Does it affect us all? Sure it does. There's nothing more discouraging than to feel like you are a failure and what you've give your best at. Now, if you give something about that much and you fail, no big deal. But if you give something your very all, and you feel like you're a failure, or you feel like you're not appreciated. Now, come on, I'm going to dig a little bit. Every one of us want to know we're loved, and we want to know we're appreciated, and we're living in such an age, I'm telling you, friends, that folks want to be appreciated more than more appreciation has ever been appreciated any appreciated human beings. I've never seen people who had to be told so much over and over and over and over and over and over again how much you appreciate their appreciation because you appreciate that they're appreciated. But they want you to appreciate their appreciation because they appreciate you appreciating them. Whether or not they appreciate you, they want you to appreciate them. And they've got to hear it over and over and over again. But there is a key in the Word of God that when David had got down and got despaired and his brothers turned against him and the enemy was against him, that the Bible says David encouraged himself. There is a time that God wants us as His people to take the Word of God and encourage ourselves. I am a believer. I am redeemed. I am saved. I am sanctified. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. I am a child of God. I am going on. I'm not stopping. What are you doing? You are encouraging yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Get your shotgun out and lay it over your shoulder. Double barrel. Old and New Testament. And that little fox goes to sticking his head out, take the end of his nose off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my, you hunter brothers know. Maybe your sisters wouldn't know it, but foxes, something that hunters many times will use is the scent of a fox. Fox urine or fox smell, because deer feel very comfortable around where a fox has been. Because a fox is so sly and so cunning, so if they smell that urine of the fox or the scent of a fox, a deer will walk right in behind them. I've had them to follow my trail right to a tree where I was and look right up at me. Because they thought they was following a fox until they realized this guy's got a gun. But they smell that fox and it makes them relax. And what makes it so difficult for us? Oh, we can shoot a fox off of Brother Skip's nose. We can shoot one off of Brother Terry's right ear. But boy, when we see one hanging around our foot, we see one hanging around our leg, and then we got to take that gun and try to shoot around those. Be careful now, Brother Donnie, don't hurt me. I've got to hurt you sometime. I've got to take that shotgun and blast that thing off of you. Until you're delivered of that old fox. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be faint. Maybe we'll get to it in the morning. Do you understand? The Lord Jesus got discouraged. The Lord Jesus was troubled and faint and weary. I appreciate that so much about Him, that He would allow Himself to feel the deepest feelings of humanity. To feel discouragement. God couldn't feel that. God in spirit form couldn't feel discouraged. But yet He got so low, Brother Larry, that He allowed Himself to feel discouragement. Now He didn't want to stop being a son of God. He could not do no more than you can. But He got so discouraged. He looked at the disciples one day and they said, "Oh, now we believe." He said, "Do you now believe?" Brother Bam said he looked around discouraged in his heart. And responded, answered, Jesus, discouraged. How was He able to go to Calvary? Through discouragement, through pain, through suffering, feeling all that despondency, much less the sin of the world placed upon Him. Nobody, hardly anybody, even understood. Mary Magdalene, for whatever reason, He chose to give her an insight that even the preachers didn't have. She anointed His body to the burial and the resurrection. And they're still arguing over who's going to be the bishop. But she was able to see. You imagine how discouraging that would have been for Jesus? These preachers is going to take the message and go on with it, and they're fussing and fighting over who gets to sit at my right hand and who gets to sit at my left hand. He allowed himself as a human to feel that, to succumb to that. This is the sonship. This is the sonship. Amen. To feel discouraged and think, why should I even do it? I guarantee you there ain't a musician on this platform, a singer in this church, a song leader, a preacher, that ain't ever been so despondent. Deacons, Sunday school leaders, librarians, whoever they are. They just thought, I ain't doing it no more. I go in there and I clean the church and I pick up the church and people do this, that, and other. I'm quitting. The guy's on the sound booth. How many times do you tell him you appreciate him when the service goes well? But how many times do you crank that head of yours around that when something goes wrong? They don't read sign language, I can tell you that right now. And you'll come in here and set 10 or 15 services, whatever it is, and everything will go smooth, and you never walk by to say, thank you. I appreciate you sacrificing to sit back here and make it comfortable for us. What is it, friends? It's our tendency to complain and not be grateful. And Satan uses them complaints on everybody and their brother to bring them even farther down in their discouragement. So what do y'all figure? So we just all quit? What do you think? Well, I wasn't really asking you for me, but I just thought I'd throw myself in the same pot. If every one of you said you was, I'd have to say, I'm sorry, I love you, but I'm going home. Anybody feels that way? I'm going home. Do you get discouraged, Brother Dunn? I do. You get despondent? I do. But I'm going on anyway. I'm going on. And as a matter of fact, I'm happy going that way. I said, I'm happy going that way. Amen. I want as much happiness as I can be able to stand. That's exactly right. I want to be a happy child of God, not just when I get to heaven, but on my journey. Praise God. Can we bow our heads? We'll pick it up again in the morning. Lord, brother. Oh, Lord Jesus. Maybe there's some here tonight that just need help from the Lord. Maybe you're just there. Look, friend, it doesn't mean that you're not a good person, a good Christian, a believer, when you get so low and despondent. The examples I'm going to show you tonight or showed you tonight and use the Lord willing in the morning, I'm not going to use one harlot, not one prostitute, not one gambler. I'm going to use saints, prophets, great people. Great people that become so discouraged and so despondent. Yet they must press on. And it's the same with us tonight. Maybe it's your natural work, what God's called you to be. Maybe it's your family, your business, whatever. And you just feel like your church life. God, what's wrong with me? Lord, what in the world's going on with me? I don't seem like I'm going nowhere. I don't seem like I'm gaining ground. It just seem like I'm sitting here spinning my wheels. Help me, God. You see, when we get there, that's when Satan really loves to pile it on us. When we get so discouraged. But that's the time you need to be more faithful. That's the time that you need to put forth more effort to let the devil know and you know you ain't going nowhere. You ain't going back. You ain't got no way to get back. And you ain't got nothing to go back to. I wonder, with the visible audience and those that are streaming the service, wherever you are in your home, you'd like to be remembered before the Lord tonight. Would you raise your hand to God? God bless you, saints. Men, women, young people, old people, ministers, deacons, all over the building here tonight. God bless you. God bless you, saints. Oh, let me say this to you. If I have ever in any way discouraged you, if I've ever done anything in any way to set a stumbling block in front of any of you that's ever set you back spiritually, I'll humbly ask you to forgive me. My desire is never to discourage the people of God, but to encourage, to try to be a strength to you. As your pastor, I would try my best to encourage you. If you'd call me, email me, text me, or whatever, I'd pray for you, do everything I could to try to encourage you and try to minimize your burden. But I realize God will only let me do that so much because there's so much of this He wants you to overcome. And as your pastor, I'd spoil you worse than what you are, because I'd pray your burden off of you, and God said, no, Donnie, that ain't what I want you to do. I want them to overcome this. Many of you come up for prayer to overcome this and that and the other, and I'll pray with you, and I'll pray faithfully like these brothers do. But I know when I'm praying many times, God is not going to allow my prayer to be the thing that's going to overcome it. My prayer may be the thing that will give you strength to help you to overcome it. We do not overcome just by someone else praying for us. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith. We can pray for our faith, yes. Have men of God to pray for us. But it will not be me or Brother Darrell or Brother Horn, any of the rest of the brothers here that will be able to pray you through every one of your burdens and your trials. Amen. As hard as I would try, as hard as these ministers would try, there will be times you will have to encourage yourself. That you'll stand on God's word as a son or daughter of God, and you'll take God's promises, and you will, out of that valley, you will have encouraged yourself. Oh, glory to God. Right to a place of victory in Jesus Christ. And that will mean more to you, far more to you, than if you come up and had me pray for you and God done it, or had Brother Darrell to pray for you and God done it. God wants His children to be able to learn to stand, as it were, on their own two feet. Can we pray for one another? Would you lay your hand over on the person standing beside you? Oh, praise the Lord. Maybe they're not discouraged tonight or going through a discouraging time, but the devil will hit them. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, week after next. It comes to all human beings. It's just part of it. Let's just pray for one another. Heavenly Fathers, we have our hands one upon the other tonight, Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray that You'd take these simple words, Father. They're not deep, Lord. They're not great, profound mysteries. But yet it's something, Lord, that each one of us can relate to. And we've been saved very long at all. Lord, that we can become so discouraged. Maybe, Father, we can make a trip to a doctor, we think, just for a checkup. And the doctor says, I hate to tell you, but I found something in your heart. Your blood pressure is through the roof. I found something in your body. And Lord, we as humans, it just seems like it just knocks the air out of us, as it were, Lord. We become so discouraged, Father. But Lord, I pray for your children tonight, God. I pray for every servant of God, every man of God. I pray for every true pastor of yours around the world, Father. Lord Jesus, may you encourage the men of God. If Satan can get the preachers down and discourage, Lord, and get them to where they feel like the work is in vain, then, Lord, it will come on down to the laity, on down to the moms, the dads, the children. But, Lord, may you strengthen the men of God around the world. When Moses was standing there that day, Lord, with his hands uplifted, Father, as long as his hands were held up, the children of Israel won the battle. But, oh, God, when Moses' hands went down, the battle went against them. Father, you had men to come and strengthen the man of God's hands. And they held his hands up, Lord, till the battle was won. I pray you would help the people of God to realize not only do preachers need them, but they need preachers. We need one another, Lord. They need the men of God to preach to them. The men of God need them to hold up their hands. It's one cycle that you have ordained to the body change, Lord. I pray for the mothers. I pray for the fathers. fathers. I pray for the young people tonight, Lord. Every one of them, Lord, wherever they are in their walk with God. Those that have streamed this service, those that are archiving, God. Maybe someone so down and so discouraged, they don't know what to do. But may the Spirit of God raise up within them tonight, Father. May they take that word and may they begin to encourage themselves in Christ Jesus. Amen. May they take that word and confess who and what they are. Glory be to God. Oh, blessed Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, mighty God, mighty God. Help us tonight, I pray, Father, to take the shotgun of that word and blast that little old fox of discouragement, Lord Jesus. He'd try to take our joy. He'd try to take our peace. He'd try to rob us, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus, may he get out of here, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. We rejoice in you tonight, Lord. We worship your name, dear God. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the trials you allow to come our way. Thank you, Father, for every test we go through. Thank you, Lord, because it makes us a better people, a stronger people in your word. Encourage us tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The prophet tells us as Cleophas and his friend, they was on their way to Emmaus. He said they were so down and they were so discouraged. But there was one thing that they did. They started talking about you. Praise God. And you stepped out of the bushes in their discouraging time. Amen. They went on their way to Emmaus discouraged. But they come back encouraged. And the key was, they was talking about you. He said, the problem of it is, we talk about too many other things other than you. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Help us tonight, Lord. Would you pass by this way? We're not asking you to do what we're supposed to do. We're lazy enough the way it is. Lord, if we're supposed to encourage ourselves tonight, I'm not even going to ask you to do that. But maybe there's some here that can't. Maybe they're just so low, Lord, they don't feel like they can do it. Would you walk with them the way you did to Cleophas and his friend? We're talking about you, Lord. We're saying how wonderful you are, how that you're the lily of the valley, you're the bright and the morning star. You're our everything, you're the first and the last. We're not worthy of you, Lord. We're not even worthy of one of your blessings. But you smile upon us over and over again, Lord God. We believe you love us tonight. We believe you care for us, Lord. Oh, Father, many tonight, they're not discouraged to the state. They want to just turn and walk away, but just discouraged with the life itself, just the busyness of life and the things of life itself. We get so laden down with so much on our plate, as it were, Lord. So much to do, so much to go. We got to go here, go there, do this, do that, the other. It can just become so draining sometimes, Father. And we just get so discouraged with all of it. Come by this way tonight, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. We worship you, mighty God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for not walking away from us when we get down, Lord, and when we just get despondent with life. You didn't tell Moses, well, I ain't have nothing else to do with you. You fabricated stuff, you exaggerated stuff, you made stuff up, wasn't even the truth. But you reached down in mercy, and you helped him, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Lord, how many times have I been so low and so down? I didn't know what to do. You'd put it on people's hearts and they'd either mail me a card or drop me an email or a text and say, Brother Donnie, I woke up this morning. It's on my mind. I just want to let you know I appreciate you. I say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But then there's other times, oh, how I'd love to get a text. How I'd love to get an email. But it's one of them days when I realize I've got to do this my own. I've got to encourage myself. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I think it's in me to do that. Oh, I've encouraged people around the world, thousands times thousands, Lord, around the world. But I'm one of the hardest people that I have ever dealt with to try to encourage. These saints can come and sit in the office and I can encourage them. It just seems like I'm gifted to be able to reach out to them. Why is it such a battle for me to encourage myself? I'm stubborn. I'm hard-headed. No wonder you want me to do it sometimes. I've got to break beyond me. I've got to show me who's in control. And it ain't the flesh. It's the Son of God part. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, can we just raise our hands, friends, in the presence of the Lord? Don't you appreciate His word tonight? Oh, I trust this has been an encouragement to you and a help to you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Know any encouragement songs, Harry? Write one there, Master of Song. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be encouraged, saints. Maybe you've been indifferent from the Lord and you're not where you want to be and you think, Brother Donnie, will I ever get there? You will. Study Nehemiah. Read the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. It didn't happen like that. Many times folks backside to get cold on God. They think it's going to come back just like that. God deals with the sinner like that way many times. But very few times it'll deal with a backslider that way. Generally, a backslider's return to me, come back, come back, come back. And they're coming back all right, at a snail's pace. And you know what they do, many of them? They get so discouraged on their way back to turn and go back again. God knew exactly what they do. God's trying you. God's dealing with you. Come on. How many days did it take them to restore the wall? 52. How long was it built in the city? Days and days and days. It didn't happen immediately. It wasn't a great supernatural miracle. A supernatural, all right. God anointing the super, they're natural. Amen. This will be the way you and I is going to take the rapture, by the supernatural power of God. The super anointing your natural. Amen. How many times did God mark down the walls of Jericho? Once. How many times did God send hornets? Two times. What happened to all the rest of it? Supernatural. Super anointing their natural. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. There's the way we'll take our land. We'll fight through Sanballat. We'll fight through Tobiah. We'll fight through their arrogance. We'll fight through their ridicule and them making fun of us, because it is our land. He never said it would be easy. He never said it would drop right in your lap. He said you'll fight for every inch of the ground you get in God. But it'll be worth it, brother, sister. Praise God.
I don't think we've got these words, but the song was on my heart yesterday. Let's try this. Gee, brothers. I won't go back. I can't go back.
Amen.
To the way it used to be before your presence came. And change me,
Lord.
Oh, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be.
Thank you, Jesus.
Before your presence came and changed me. Came and changed me. I've been changed, healed, free, delivered.
grace, grace and favor. And oh Lord, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. Oh Lord, I won't go back. Can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. Lord, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. Oh, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way I used to be before your presence came and changed me. Lord, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me.
Hallelujah. Brother Darrell, you come and dismiss us, buddy. Amen. Is that your determination tonight? I ain't going back. I ain't got no thoughts of it. We're pressing the journey. Glad to have Brother Darrell at home visiting with us for a few services. Ask him to dismiss us in prayer. Service in the morning. Bless you, buddy.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I wonder if David reminded himself that God sent a prophet to him. I wonder if David reminded himself that that prophet told him who he was. Told him what he was going to be. Hallelujah. Told him you're called, anointed, elected, placed, chosen. You will be King David. Amen. We need to talk about those things. Amen. We need to encourage ourselves in those things. I'm chosen, elected, predestinated of God. He spoke and wrote my name before there was ever a world. Hallelujah. The mayor of Johnson City don't know my name. The governor of Tennessee don't know my name. Donald Trump don't know my name. Come on, somebody. But the God who hung the stars, He knows your name. He knows the color of your eyes before you was ever born. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. You know, Brother Donnie's talking about a possum. Oh, my God. Last night, there's a possum got over to our house. The kids were screaming. The dog had it in its mouth. And that thing brought a lot of... I could say amen to a possum giving me a lot of grief last night. I can't believe it. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let's just bow our heads. Did you enjoy the Word of God tonight? Amen. God bless you, Brother Joel. Sure love you, buddy. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so grateful that you're mindful of us, Lord. That you even tell us about the little foxes. How that we can take your word, Lord, and overcome these things. By looking into your word, Lord. And taking it into our heart and speaking it back upon our lips. For your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which it was sent to do. And Lord, we're just so grateful tonight. For Lord, truly, we've all been there just the other day myself, Lord, just going down the road. I just told my wife, maybe just come off the field and come home. But Lord, we're so glad that you're mindful of us. That you come, Lord, give us the antidote for these things. that we can set our wings, Lord, as an eagle, because you built us that way, right upon the wind of the Holy Spirit, that it gets above the old chatter of the squirrel, the saying that we can't make it, we can't overcome, that nobody cares for us, nobody loves us. We can just set our wings in the Holy Ghost and fly into the heavens of your word, Lord. Thank you tonight for Brother Donnie, Lord. We ask you, you'd renew his strength, Lord. Give him rest and be with us as we make our way home tonight, Lord. Watch over us. And thank you for all the visitors that's been in our gates tonight. May you bless them in a special way, Lord. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings, Father. May we be molded into an image that would be pleasing to you, we pray. We just love you, Lord. We thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for words of encouragement, Lord. Father, I'm not a smart person, Lord. I don't have fancy words. I can't even pronounce most of the words in the Bible, Lord. God, in my inadequacy, I can't even express to you, Lord. So I ask you tonight to listen to my heart, Lord. For the heart speaks a language all its own, Lord. And from our hearts tonight we say, we love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to serve you. We thank you, Lord, that there is no God like you. We thank you, Lord, for sending Elijah to us. We thank you, Lord, for the message of the hour. We thank you for healing. We thank you for joy. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for the promise of the body change, Lord. We thank you for these things, God. We just love you tonight, Lord. And go with your people now, we pray, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints, tonight. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Amen. Play something, Harry.
Oh, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. Oh, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Your presence came and changed me. Oh, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. I won't go back. Can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. I've been changed, healed, freed, delivered. I found joy, peace, grace, and favor. Presence came and changed me. I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me.